He who rules men lives in confusion. He who is ruled by men lives in sorrow. Tao, therefore, desired neither to influence others nor be influenced by them. The way to get clear of confusion and free of sorrow is to live with Tao in the land of the void. If a man is crossing a river and an empty boat collides with his own skiff, even though he be a bad-tempered man, he will not become very angry. But if he sees a man in the boat, he will shout to him to steer clear. And if the shout is not heard, he will shout again and yet again and begin cursing, and all because there is somebody in that boat. Yet if the boat were empty, he would not be shouting, and he would not be angry. If you can empty your own boat, crossing the river of the world, no one will oppose you. No one will seek to harm you. The straight tree is the first to be cut down. The spring of clear water is the first to be drained dry. If you wish to improve your wisdom and shame the ignorant, to cultivate your character and outshine others, a light will shine around you as if you had swallowed the sun and the moon, and you will not avoid calamity. A wise man has said, "He who is content with himself has done worthless work. Achievement is the beginning of failure. Fame is the beginning of disgrace." Who can free himself of achievement and fame, then descend and be lost amid the masses of men? He will flow like Tao, unseen. He will go about like life itself, with no name and no home. Simple is he, without distinction. To all appearances, he is a fool. His steps leave no trace. He has no power. He achieves nothing. He has no reputation. Since he judges no one, no one judges him. Such is the perfect man. His boat is empty.
You have come to me. You have taken a dangerous step. It is a risk, because near me you can be lost forever. To come more closer will mean death and cannot mean anything else. I am just like an abyss. Come closer to me, and you will fall into me. And for this, the invitation has been given to you. You heard it, and you have come. Be aware that through me, you are not going to gain anything. Through me, you can only lose all. Because unless you are lost, the divine cannot happen. Unless you disappear totally, the real cannot arise. You are the barrier, and you are so much, so stubbornly much. You are so filled with yourself that nothing can penetrate in you. Your doors are closed. When you disappear, when you are not, the doors open. Then you become just like the vast infinite sky. And that is your nature, that is Tao. Before I enter into Chantaji's beautiful parable of the empty boat, I would like to tell you one other story, because that will set the trend for this camp which you are entering. I have heard it happened once in some ancient time in some unknown country. A prince suddenly went mad. The king was desperate. That prince was the only son, the only heir to the kingdom. All the magicians were called, miracle makers, medical men, summons. Every effort was made, but in vain. Nobody could help the young prince. He remained mad. The day he went crazy, he threw his clothes, became naked, and he started to live under a big table. He was thinking that he has become a rooster. Ultimately, the king had to accept the fact that the prince cannot be reclaimed. He had gone insane permanently. All the experts failed, but one day again hope dawned. One sage, one mystic, one Sufi knocked on the palace door. And he said, give me one opportunity to cure the prince. But the king felt suspicious, because this man looked himself crazy, more crazy than the prince. But the mystic said, only I can cure him. To cure a madman, a greater madman is needed. And your summons, your miracle makers, your medical experts all failed, because they don't know ABC of madness. They have never traveled the path. It looked magical. And then the king thought, there is no harm in it. Why not try? The opportunity was given. The moment the king said, okay, you try, this mystic threw his clothes, jumped under the table, and crowed like roosters. The prince became suspicious and he said, who are you and what do you think you are doing? This old man said, I am a rooster, more experienced than you. You are nothing. You are just a newcomer. At the most, an apprentice. The prince said, then it is okay if you are also a rooster, but you look like a human being. The old man said, don't go to the appearances. Look at my spirit, at my soul. I am a rooster like you. They became friends. They promised each other that they will always live together. And this whole world is against them. Few days passed. One day, the old man suddenly started dressing. He He put on his shirt. The prince said, "What are you doing? Have you gone crazy?" A rooster trying to put human dress? The old man said, "I'm just trying to deceive these fools, these human beings. And remember that even if I'm dressed, nothing is changed. My roosterness remains. Nobody can change it. Just by dressing like a human being, do you think I'm changed?" The prince had to concede. Few days afterwards, the old man persuaded the prince to dress, because winter was reaching and it was becoming so cold. Then one day suddenly he ordered food from the palace. The prince became very much alert and he said, "Wretch, what do you mean? Are you going to eat like those human beings? Like them? We are roosters and we have to eat like roosters." The old man said, "Nothing makes a difference as far as this, the rooster, is concerned. You can eat anything and you can enjoy everything. You can live like a human being and remain true to your roosterness." By and by, the old man persuaded the prince to come back to the world of humanity. He became absolutely normal. The same is the case with you and me. And remember, you are just initiates, beginners. You may think that you are a rooster, but just learning the alphabet, I am an old hand. And only I can help you. And all the experts have failed, that's why you are here. You have knocked many doors. For many lives you have been in search. Nothing has been of help to you. But I say I can help you. Because I am not an expert. I am not an outsider. I have traveled the same path, the same insanity, the same madness. I have passed through the same misery, the anguish, the same nightmares. And whatsoever I am doing is nothing but persuading you to come out of your madness. To think oneself a rooster is crazy. To think oneself a body is also crazy, even crazier. To think oneself a rooster is madness. To think oneself as a human being is a greater madness, because you don't belong to any form. Whether the form is that of a rooster or of a human being is irrelevant. You belong to the formless. You belong to the total, the whole. So whatsoever form you think that you are mad. You are formless. You don't belong to any form. And you don't belong to any body. You don't belong to any caste, religion, creed. You don't belong to any name. And unless you become formless, nameless, you will never be sane. Sanity means coming to that which is natural, coming to that which is ultimate in you, coming to that which is hidden behind you. Much effort is needed, because to cut form, to drop, eliminate form is very difficult. You have become so much attached and identified with it. This samadhi, sadhana shivir, this camp is nothing but to persuade you towards the formless. How not to be in the form? Every form means the ego. Even the rooster has its ego, man has it, his own. Every form is centered in the ego. The formless means egolessness. Then you are not centered. Then your center is everywhere or nowhere. This is possible. This which looks almost impossible is possible. Because this has happened to me. And when I say through experience. Wherever you are, I was. And wherever I am, you can be. Look at me as deeply as possible and feel me as deeply as possible, because I am your future. I am your possibility. Whenever I say surrender to me, I mean surrender to this possibility. You can be cured, because your illness is just a thought. The prince went mad because he became identified with a thought that he is a rooster. Everybody is mad unless he comes to understand that he is not identified with any form. Only then sanity. So a sane person will not be nobody in particular. Cannot be. Only an insane person can be somebody in particular. Whether a rooster or a man or a prime minister or a president or anybody whatsoever. A sane person comes to feel the nobodiness. This is the danger. You have come to me as somebody. And if you allow me, if you give me an opportunity, this somebody-ness can disappear and you can become a nobody. This is the whole effort to make you a nobody. But why? Why this effort to become a nobody? Because unless you become nobody, you cannot be blissful. Unless you become nobody, you cannot be ecstatic. Unless you become nobody, the benediction is not for you. You go on missing life. Really, you are not alive. You simply drag. You simply carry yourself like a burden. Much anguish happens, much despair, much sorrow, but not a single ray of bliss. It cannot. If you are somebody, you are like a solid block of stone. Nothing can penetrate you. When you are nobody, you start becoming porous. When you are nobody, really, you lie. You are an emptiness, transparent. everything can pass through you. There is no hindrance. There is no barriers, no resistance. You become a passivity, a door. Right now, you are like a wall. A wall means somebody. When you become a door, you become nobody. A door is just an emptiness. Anybody can pass. There is no resistance, no barrier. Somebody you are met. Nobody, you will become sane for the first time. But the whole society, education, civilization, culture, they all cultivate you and help you to become somebody. That's why I say religion is against civilization. Religion is against education. Religion is against culture. Because religion is for nature, for Tao. All civilizations are against nature because they want to make you somebody. In particular, and the more you are crystallized as somebody, less and less the divine can penetrate in you. You go to the temples, to the churches, to the priests, but there too you are searching how to become somebody in the other world. How to attain something and how to succeed. The achieving mind follows you like a shadow. Wherever you go with the idea of profit, achievement, success, attainment. If somebody has come with this idea here, he should leave as soon as possible and he should run as fast as possible from me. Because I cannot help you to become somebody. I am not your enemy. I can only help you to be nobody. I can only push you into the abyss. Bottomless. You will never reach anywhere. You will simply dissolve. You will fall and fall and fall and dissolve. And the moment you dissolve, the whole existence feels ecstatic. The whole existence celebrates this happening. Buddha attained this because of language, I say attained. Otherwise the word is ugly. There is no attainment. But you will understand. Buddha attained this emptiness, this nothingness. For 2 weeks, for 14 days continuously, he sat in silence. Not moving, not saying, not doing anything. It is said that deities in heaven became disturbed. Rarely it happens that somebody becomes such total emptiness. The whole existence felt celebrating. So deities came, they bowed down before Buddha and they said, you must speak something. You must say what you have attained. Buddha is said to have laughed and said that I have not attained anything. Rather, because of this mind which always wants to attain something, I was missing everything. I have not achieved anything. This is not an achievement. Rather, on the contrary, the achiever has disappeared. I am no more. And see the beauty of it, said Buddha, that when I was miserable. And when I am no more, everything is blissful. The bliss is sovereign and sovereign continuously on me everywhere. Now there is no misery. Buddha had said before, Life is misery. Birth is misery. Death is misery. Everything is miserable. It was miserable because the ego was there. The boat was not empty. Now the boat is empty. Now there is no misery, no sorrow, no sadness. Existence has become a celebration. And it will remain a celebration up to eternity, forever and forever. That's why I say it is dangerous you have come to me. You have taken a risky step. And if you are courageous, then be ready for the jump. The whole effort is how to kill you. The whole effort is how to destroy you. Once you are destroyed, the indestructible will come up. It is there, hidden. Once all that which is non-essential is eliminated, and the essential will be like a flame, alive in its total glory. This parable of Chuan Tzu is beautiful. He says that a wise man is like an empty boat. Such is the perfect man. His boat is empty. There is nobody inside. If you meet a Chuan Tzu or a Lao Tse or me, the boat is there, but it is empty, nobody in it. If you simply look at the surface, then somebody is there, because the boat is there. But if you penetrate deeper, if you really become intimate, if you forget the body, the boat, then you come to encounter a nothingness. Chuan Tzu is a rare flowering, because to become nobody is the most difficult, almost impossible, the most extraordinary thing in the world. Ordinary mind hankers to be extraordinary. That is part of ordinariness. Ordinary mind desires to be somebody in particular. That is part of ordinariness. You may become an Alexander, but you remain ordinary. Then what is the extraordinary one? The extraordinariness starts only when you don't hanker after extraordinariness. Then the journey has started. Then a new seed has sprouted. This is what Chuan Tzu means when he says, a perfect man is like an empty boat. Many things are implied in it. First, an empty boat is not going anywhere, because there is nobody to direct it, nobody to manipulate it, nobody to drive it somewhere. An empty boat is just there. It is not going anywhere. Even if it is moving, it is not going anywhere. When the mind is not there, life will remain a movement, but it will not be directed. You will move, you will change, you will be a river-like flow, but not going anywhere, with no goal in view. A perfect man lives without any purpose. A perfect man moves, but without any motive. If you ask a perfect man what you are doing, he will say, I don't know. This is what is happening. If you ask me why I am talking to you, I will say, ask the flower why. The flower is flowering. This is happening. This is not manipulated. There is no one to manipulate it. The boat is empty. When there is purpose, you will always be in misery. Why? Once a man asked a miser, a great miser, he asked him, how you could succeed in accumulating so much wealth? The master said, this has been my motto. Whatsoever is done tomorrow has to be done today. And whatsoever is to be enjoyed today has to be enjoyed tomorrow. This has been my motto. He succeeded in accumulating wealth. This is how people succeed in accumulating nonsense. But that miser was miserable also. On the one hand, he has succeeded in accumulating wealth. On another hand, he has succeeded in accumulating misery. And the same is the motto for accumulating misery also. Do whatsoever is to be done tomorrow, do it today, right now, don't postpone it. And whatsoever can be enjoyed right now, never enjoy it right now, postpone it for tomorrow. This is the way how one enters in the health. It always succeeds. It has never been a failure. Try it and you will succeed. Or you may have already succeeded. You may have trying it without knowing. Postpone all that which can be enjoyed. Just think of the tomorrow. Jesus was crucified by the Jews for this reason, not for any other reason. Not that they were against Jesus. Jesus was a perfect man, a beautiful man. Why the Jews should be against him? Rather, on the contrary, they were waiting for this man. For centuries, they were hoping and waiting when the Messiah will come. And then suddenly, this Jesus declared that I am the Messiah for whom you were waiting. And I have come now. Now look at me. They were disturbed. Because mind can wait. Always enjoys waiting. But mind cannot face the fact. Mind cannot encounter this moment. It can always postpone. It was easy to postpone. That the Messiah is to come. Soon he will be coming. For centuries Jews were thinking and postponing. Then suddenly this man destroyed all hope. Because he said, I am here. The mind was disturbed. They had to kill this man. Otherwise, they will not be able to live with the hope, with the tomorrow. And not only Jesus, many others have declared since then that I am here, I am the Messiah. And Jews always deny. Because if they don't deny, then how they will be able to hope? And how they will be able to postpone? And they have lived with this hope with such fervor with such deep intensity that you cannot believe. There have been Jews who will go to their bed in the night hoping that this is going to be the last night and the morning the Messiah will be there. I have heard about one rabbi who used to say to his wife that if he comes in the night, don't waste a single minute, immediately wake me up. The Messiah is coming and coming, any moment he can come. I have heard of another rabbi, his son was going to be married. So he sent invitations to friends for the marriage, and he wrote in the invitation that in Jerusalem my son is going to be married on such and such date. If the Messiah doesn't come up to them, then my son be married in this village of courts. Who knows, by the time the marriage comes, the Messiah will be there. Then I will not be here, I will be in Jerusalem celebrating. So if he is not coming up to this date, the date for the marriage, then only the marriage will be here in this village, otherwise in Jerusalem. They have been waiting and waiting, dreaming. The whole Jewish mind has been obsessed with the coming Messiah. But whenever the Messiah comes, they immediately deny. This has to be understood. This is how mind functions. You wait for the bliss, for the ecstasy. And whenever it comes, you will deny. You will just turn your back towards it. Mind can live in the future, but cannot live in the present. In the present, you can simply hope and desire. And that's how you create misery. If you start living this very moment, here and now, misery disappears. But how it is related with the ego? Ego is the past accumulated. Whatsoever you have known, experienced, read, whatsoever has happened to you in the past, the whole is accumulated there. That whole past is the ego. It is you. The past can project in the future. The past cannot face the present. Because future is nothing but extended past. Present is totally different. The present has a quality of being here and now. The past is always dead. The present is life, the very source of all aliveness. The past cannot face present. It moves into the future. Both are dead. Both are non-existential. The present is life. Neither the future can encounter the present. Now the past can encounter the present. And your ego, your somebody-ness, is your past. Unless you are empty, you cannot be here. And unless you are here, you cannot be alive. How can you know the bliss of life? It is every moment sovereign on you and you are bypassing it. Says Chuang Tzu, such is the perfect man, his boat is empty. Empty of what? Empty of the I. Empty of the ego. Empty of somebody there inside. He who rules man lives in confusion. And he who is ruled by man lives in sorrow. He who rules man lives in confusion. Why? Because the desire to rule comes from the ego. The desire to possess, to be powerful, the desire to dominate comes from the ego. The greater the kingdom you can dominate, the greater ego you can achieve. With your possessions, your inner somebody goes on becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes the boat becomes so small and the ego becomes so big. This is what is happening to politicians, to people obsessed with wealth, prestige, power. Their ego has become so big that the boat cannot contain it. Every moment they are at the point of drowning, at the verge, afraid, scared to death. And the more you are afraid, the more possessive you become. Because you think through possessions, somehow security is achieved. The more you are afraid, the more you think that if the kingdom is a little more greater, you will be more secured. He who rules man lives in confusion. Really, the desire to rule comes out of your confusion. The desire to be leaders of men comes out of your confusion. When you start leading others, you forget your confusion. This is a sort of escape, a trick. You are ill. And if somebody is ill and you become interested in curing that man, you forget your illness. I have heard once Judge Bernard Starr phoned to his doctor that he is in much trouble and he feels his heart is going to fail. Come immediately. The doctor came running. Three staircases he had to pass, perspiring. He came and without asking anything, just fell down on the chair, closed his eyes. Vanessa jumped out of his bed, asked what has happened. The doctor says, don't say anything. It seems I am dying. It is a heart attack. Vanessa, he started helping him, brought a cup of tea, some aspirin, something whatsoever he could do. By half an hour the doctor was okay. And then he said, now I must leave. Give me my fee. Charge Winner said, this is really something. You should pay me. I have been for half an hour running and doing things for you, and you have not even asked anything about. But the doctor said, I have cured you. This is a treatment and you have to pay me the fee. When you become interested in somebody else's illness, you forget your own. Hence so many leaders, so many gurus, so many masters. It gives you an occupation. If you are concerned with other people, if you are a servant of people, a social worker, helping others, you will forget your own confusion, your inner turmoil. You are so occupied. Psychiatrists never get mad. Not because they are immune to it. They are so much concerned with other people's madness, curing, helping. They forget completely that they can also go mad. I have come to know many social workers, leaders, politicians, gurus, and they are keeping healthy just because they are concerned with others. But out of your confusion, if you lead others, dominate others, you will create confusion in their lives. It may be a treatment for yourself. It may be a good escape for you. But it is spreading the disease. He who ruins man lives in confusion. And not only lives in confusion, he goes on spreading confusion in others. Out of confusion, only confusion is born. So if you are confused, please remember, don't help anybody. Because your help is going to be poisonous. If you are confused, don't get occupied with others, because you are simply creating troubles. Your disease will become infectious. Don't give advice to anybody. And if you have a little clarity of thought, don't take advice from someone who is confused. Remain alert, because confused people always like to give advice. And they give free of charge. They give very generously. Remain alert. Out of confusion, only confusion is born. And he who is ruled by man lives in sorrow. If you dominate man, you live in confusion. If you allow others to dominate you, you will live in sorrow. Because a slave cannot be blissful. Yao therefore desired neither to influence others nor be influenced by them. Someone of the name Yao, Chuangtse, talking about that man. Yao therefore desired neither to influence others nor to be influenced by them. You should not try to influence anybody. And you should be alert not to be influenced by others. The ego can do both, but cannot remain in the middle. The ego can try to influence, then it feels good, dominating. Remember, the ego also feels good being dominated. The masters also feel good because so many slaves. Dominating. And the slaves also feel good being dominated. And there are two types of mind in the world. The mind of those who dominate, the male mind, and the mind of those who like to be dominated, the female mind. I don't mean by female women or male men. There are women who have male minds. And there are men who have feminine minds. They are not always the same. But these are the two types of mind. One who likes to dominate and one who likes to be dominated. In both the ways, ego is fulfilled. Because whether you dominate or dominated, you are important. If somebody dominates you, then too you are important. Because his domination depends on you. Without you, where he will be? Without you, where will be his kingdom, his domination, his position? Without you, he will be nobody. Ego is fulfilled on both the extremes. Only in the middle, ego dies. Don't be dominated and don't try to dominate. Just think, what will happen to you? You are not important in any way, not significant in any way, neither as a master nor as a slave. Because masters cannot live without slaves, and slaves cannot live without masters. They need each other, they are complementary. Just like men and women, they are complementary. The other is required for their fulfillment. Don't be either. Then who you are? Then suddenly you disappear. Because then you are not significant at all. Nobody depends on you. You are not needed. There is a great need to be needed, remember. You feel good whenever you are needed. Even sometimes, if it brings misery to you, even then, you love to be needed. A crippled child, always on the bed, and the mother always saying that what to do? And I have to serve this child, and my whole life is wasted. But still, if this child dies, this mother will feel lost. Because at least this child needs her so totally, she has become important. If there is nobody who needs you, who you are? You create the need to be needed. Even slaves are needed. Yao therefore desires neither to influence others nor to be influenced by them. The way to get clear of confusion and free of sorrow is to live with Tao in the land of the wild. This middle point is the land of the wild, or the door to the land of the wild. As if you are not. Nobody needs you, you don't need anybody. You exist as if you are not. If you are not significant, the ego cannot persist. That's why you go on trying yourself to become significant in some way or other. Whenever you feel that you are needed, you feel good. But this is your misery and confusion. And this is the base of your hell. How you can be free? Look at these two extremes. Buddha called his religion the middle path, Majjhim Nikaya. He called it the middle path because he said, mind lives on extremes. Once you remain in the middle, mind disappears. In the middle, there is no mind. Have you seen a tightrope walker? Next time you see, observe. Whenever the tightrope walker leans towards the left, immediately he has to move towards the right to balance. Whenever he feels he is leaning too much to the right, he has to lean towards the left. You have to go to the opposite to create balance. So it happens, masters become slaves, slaves become masters. Possessors become possessed. The possessed becomes the possessor. It goes on. It is a continuous balance. Have you observed it in your relationship? If you are a husband, really, are you a husband 24 hours? Then you have not observed. In 24 hours, at least 24 times, the change happens. Sometimes the wife is the husband, and the husband is the wife. Sometimes the husband again is husband, and the wife is again wife. And this goes on changing from left to right. It is a tightrope walk. You have to balance. You cannot dominate 24 hours, because then the balance will be lost and the relationship will be destroyed. And whenever the tightrope walker comes in the middle, neither leaning to the right nor leaning to the left, then it is difficult for you to observe. Unless you yourself are the tightrope walker. In the middle, the mind disappears. And tightrope walking has been used in Tibet as a meditation. Because in the middle, the mind disappears. The mind comes into existence again when you lean towards the right. Then the mind comes again into being and says, balance it, lean towards right. Because when problem arises, the mind arises. When there is no problem, how the mind can arise? When you are just in the middle, balanced totally, there is no mind. The equilibrium means no mind. One mother, I have heard, was very much worried about his son, about her son. He had become 10 years old and he had not spoken a single word. And every effort was made. And the doctor said that nothing is wrong. The brain is absolutely okay. The body is fit, the child is healthy, and nothing can be done. If something was wrong, then something could have been done. But he will not speak. Suddenly one day, in the morning, the son spoke, and he said, this toast is too much burnt. The mother couldn't believe. She looked, she got scared. She said, what? You have spoken? And spoken so rightly? Then why you were always silent and we persuaded and tried and you never spoke? The child said, there was never anything wrong. For the first time, the toast is burnt. If there is nothing wrong, how you will speak? People come to me and they say, you go on speaking every day. I say, yes, because so many wrong people go on coming and listening to me. So much wrong is there. I have to speak. If nothing is wrong, then there is no need to speak. I speak because of you, because the toast is burnt. Whenever in the middle, in any extreme polarity, the mind disappears. Try it. Rope walking is a beautiful exercise. And one of the very subtle methods of meditation. Nothing else is needed. if you can observe the rope walker yourself, how it is happening. And remember, on a rope, thinking stops because you are in such a danger. You cannot think. The moment you think, you will fall. A rope walker cannot think. He has to be alert every moment. The balance has to be maintained continuously. He cannot feel safe. He is not safe. He cannot feel secure. He is not secure. The danger is always there. Any moment, a slight change of balance, and he will fall down. And death awaits. If you walk on a tight rope, you will come to feel two things. Thinking stops because there is danger. And whenever you come really in the middle, neither left nor right, just the midpoint, such a great silence descends on you that you have not known before. And this happens in every way. And the whole life is a tightrope walking. Yao, therefore, desired to remain in the middle, neither be dominated nor be dominated, neither be a husband nor be a wife, neither be a master nor be a slave. The way to get clear of confusion and free of sorrow is to live with Tao in the land of the wild. In the middle opens the door, the land of the wild. When you are not, the whole world disappears. Because the world hangs on you. The whole world that you have created around you hangs on you. If you are not there, the whole world disappears. Not that the existence goes into non-existence, no. But the world disappears and existence appears. The world is a mind creation, the existence is the truth. This house will be there. But then this house will not be yours. The flower will be there. But the flower will become nameless. It will be neither beautiful nor ugly. It will be there, but no concept will arise in your mind. All conceptual framework disappears. Existence bears naked innocence, remains there in its pure mirror-like beingness. But all the concepts, all the imaginations and all the dreams disappear. In the land of the wild, if a man is crossing a river and an empty boat collides with his own skiff, even though he be a bad-tempered man, he will not become very angry. But if he sees a man in the boat, he will shout to him to steer clear. As if the shout is not heard, and if the shout is not heard, he will shout again and again and begin cursing. And all because there is somebody in that boat. Yet if the boat were empty, he would not be shouting and he would not be angry. If people go on colliding with you, and if people go on being angry with you, remember, they are not at fault. Your boat is not empty. They are angry because you are there. If the boat was empty, they will look foolish. If they are angry, they will look foolish. Those who are very intimate to me, Sometimes they get angry with me and they look very foolish. If the boat is empty, you can enjoy even the anger of others. Because there is nobody to be angry with. They have not looked at you. So remember two things. One, if people go on colliding with you, you are too much. A solid wall. Give a door, become empty, let them pass. Even then, sometimes people will be angry. They are even angry with a Buddha, because there are foolish people. If the boat collides, their boat collides with an empty boat, they will not look whether there is somebody or not. They will start shouting. They will get so messed up within themselves, they will not be able to see whether there is somebody or not. But then the empty boat can enjoy it. Because then the anger never hits you. You are not there, so whom it can hit? This symbol of empty boat is really beautiful. People are angry because you are too much there. Because you are too heavy there. So solid they cannot pass. And life is intertwined with everybody. And if you are too much, then everywhere there will be collision. Anger, depression, aggression, violence. The conflict continues. And whenever you feel that someone is angry or someone has collided with you, you always think he is responsible. This is how ignorance concludes, interprets. Ignorance always says the other is responsible. Wisdom always says, if somebody is responsible, then I am responsible. And the only way not to collide is not to be. I am responsible doesn't mean that I am doing something, that's why they are angry. That is not the question. You may not be doing anything, but just your being there is enough for people to get angry. It is not a question whether you are doing good or bad. There is a question that you are there. This is the difference between Tao and other religions. Other religions say be good. Behave in such a way that no one gets angry at you. Tao says don't be. Because it is not a question whether you behave or misbehave. It is not a question. Even a good man and even a very saintly man creates anger because he is there. Sometimes a good man creates more anger than a bad man. Because a good man means a very subtle egoist. A bad man feels guilty. His boat may be filled, but he feels guilty. He is not really too much spread on the boat. His guilt helps him to shrink A good man feels himself to be so good that he fills the boat completely, overfills it. So whenever you come near a good man, you will always feel tortured. Not that he is torturing you, just his presence. With so-called good men, you will always feel sad, and you would like to avoid them. So-called good men are really very heavy. Whenever you come in their contact, they make you sad. They depress you. And you would like to leave them as soon as possible. The moralists, the Puritans, the virtuous, they are always heavy. And they carry a burden around them and a dark shadow. Nobody likes them. They cannot be good companions. They cannot be good friends. Friendship is impossible with a good man. Almost impossible. Because his eyes are always condemning. The moment you come near him, he is good and you are bad. Not that he is doing something, just his very being creates that thing. And you will feel angry. Tao is totally different. Tao has a different quality. And to me, Tao is the deepest religion that has existed on this earth. There is no comparison to it. There have been glimpses. There are glimpses in the sayings of Jesus, in Buddha, in Krishna, but only glimpses. Lao Tse are Chuan Tzu's message is the purest. Absolutely pure. Nothing has contaminated it. And this is the message and all because there is somebody in that boat. This whole hell is all because there is somebody in the boat. Yet if the boat were empty, he would not be shouting and he would not be angry. If you can empty your own boat, crossing the river of the world, no one will oppose you and no one will seek to harm you. The straight tree is the first to be cut down. The spring of clear water is the first to be drained dry. If you wish to improve your wisdom and shame the ignorant, to cultivate your character and outshine others, a light will shine around you as if you had swallowed the sun and the moon, and you will not avoid calamity. This is unique. Because Chuan Tzu is saying that the halo around you of saintliness shows that still you are there. The halo that you are good is sure to create calamity for you. And calamity for others also. Lao Tse and Chuang Tzu, the master and disciple both, they have never been painted in pictures with halos around, auras around, like Jesus, Zarathustra, Krishna, Buddha, Mahavir. They have never been painted with an aura around their head. Because they say, if you are really good, Not that an aura appears around your head. Rather, on the contrary, the head disappears. Where to draw the aura? The head disappears. All auras are somewhere related to the ego. It is not Krishna who has made a self-portrait. It's the disciples who cannot think of him without drawing an aura around his head. Then he looks ordinary. And Chantazu says to be ordinary is to be the sage. Nobody recognizes you. Nobody feels that you are somebody extraordinary. Chuang Tzu says, you go in the crowd and you are mixed. Nobody knows that a Buddha has entered in the crowd. Nobody comes to feel that somebody is different. Because if somebody feels, then there is bound to be anger and calamity. Because whenever somebody feels that you are somebody, his own anger, his own ego is hurt. He starts reacting. He starts attacking you. So Chuang Tzu says, character is not to be cultivated, because that too is a sort of wealth. And so-called religious people go on teaching, cultivate character, cultivate morality, be virtuous. But why? Why be virtuous against the sinners? But your mind is dual. You are still ambitious. And if you reach into paradise and there you see sinners sitting around God, you will feel very much hurt. Your whole life has been a wastage. You cultivated virtue. You cultivated character. And these people were enjoying and doing all sorts of things which are condemned. And here they are sitting around God. If you see saints and sinners together in paradise, you will be very much hurt. You will become very much sad and miserable. Because your virtue is also part of your ego. You cultivate saintliness to be superior. But the mind remains the same, to be superior. In some way or other, how to make others inferior is the motive. If you can gather much wealth, then they are poor. And you are rich. If you can become an Alexander, then you have a great kingdom and they are beggars. If you can become a great scholar, then you are knowledgeable and they are ignorant, illiterate. If you can become virtuous, religious, respectable, moral, then they are condemned, they are sinners. But the duality continues. You are fighting against others and you are trying to be superior. Chuang Tzu says, to cultivate your character and outshine others, you will not avoid calamity. Don't try to outshine others and don't try to cultivate character for this egoistic purpose. So far, Chuang Tzu says, there is only one character worth mentioning. And that is egolessness. All else follows it. Without it, nothing is worth. You may become godlike in your character, but if the ego is there inside, all your godliness is in service of the devil. All your virtue is nothing but a face, and the sinner is hidden behind. And the sinner cannot be transformed through virtue, through any type of cultivation. It is only when you are not there that it disappears. A wise man has said, he who is content with himself has done worthless work. Achievement is the beginning of failure. Fame is the beginning of disgrace. Very paradoxical sayings. And you will have to be very alert to understand them. Otherwise, they can be misunderstood. A wise man has said, he who is content with himself has done worthless work. But religious people go on teaching, be content with yourself. But yourself remains there to be content with. Chantasu says, don't be there. Then there is no question of contentment or discontentment. This is real contentment, when you are not there. But if you feel that you are content, this is false, because you are there. And this is just the ego fulfillment. You feel that you have achieved. You feel that you have reached. Tao says, that one who feels that he has achieved has missed already. One who feels that he has reached has lost. Because success is the beginning of failure. Success and failure are two parts of one circle, of one wheel. Whenever success reaches to the climax, the failure has already started. The wheel is already turning downwards. Whenever the moon has become full, now there is no further progress. Now there is no further movement. Next day, things start towards the downward journey starts. Now every day the moon will be less and less and less. Life moves in circles. Whenever you feel that you have achieved, right that moment, the wheel has moved. You are already losing. It may take time for you to recognize this, because mind is dull. Much intelligence is needed, clarity is needed to see things when they happen. To you, things happen and you take many days to recognize. Or sometimes many months, or many years, and sometimes even many lives you take to recognize what has happened. But just think about your past. Whenever you had a feeling that you have succeeded, immediately, things change. You started falling. Because the ego is part of the wheel. It succeeds because it can fail. If it cannot fail, then there is no possibility for success. Success and failure are two aspects of the same coin. Chantasu says, a wise man has said, who is content with himself has done worthless work. Because he is still there, the empty boat has not come into being yet. The boat is yet filled. The ego is sitting there. The ego is still enthroned. Achievement is the beginning of failure. Fame is the beginning of disgrace. Who can free himself of achievement and fame? then descend and be last amid the masses of men. He will flow like thou. Be alert and attentive. Who can free himself of achievement and fame? Then descend and be last amid the masses of men. He will flow like thou, unseen. He will go about like life itself, with no name and with no home. Simple is he, without distinction. To all appearances, he is a fool. This is how a wise man is, a fool. To all appearances, he is a fool. His steps leave no trace. He has no power. He achieves nothing. He has no reputation. And since he judges no one, no one can judge him. Such is the perfect man. His boat is empty. The ego cannot flow like a river. It is frozen. How the frozen river can flow? The ice must melt. Only then the flow can come. Frozen, you have a form. Melted, the form disappears. Frozen, you are somebody. Somewhere, a name melted, the name is lost, somebody-ness disappears, you have become nothing, formless. But only when you are not frozen, you flow. And when you flow, you are like life itself, because life is a movement. Only death is unmoving. Only death remains where it is. Life goes on moving and moving and moving. It is a continuous flow. If you have succeeded, you are frozen, because now you are afraid to melt. Because if you melt, the whole success will be lost. Your success is part of your frozenness. If you have become famous, now you are frozen. Now you are dead. Now you cannot melt. You have to protect yourself, your fame, your respect, your reputation. You have to protect. And you have to remain with your past. You cannot move into the unknown future, because who knows? The unknown path may lead you somewhere where the fame is lost, the reputation is lost. So you will move only on the trodden path, on the charted, on the known. You will move in the circle of the memory, on the wheel of the memory. And life never moves on the trodden path. It always moves into the unknown. Every moment it is moving into the unknown. And if you are afraid of the unknown, then you are frozen. Then you will be dead. Life will not wait for you. You have to melt. And only one who has no reputation to save, no fame to protect, can move with the unknown and can move happily. He has nothing to lose. Hence, Buddha's beggars, nameless, homeless, nothing to protect, nothing to preserve. They can move anywhere, just like clouds in the sky, homeless, with no roots anywhere, floating. With no goal, no purpose, with no ego. He will flow like thou, unseen. He will go about like life itself, with no name and no home. This is what a sannyasi means to me. When I initiate you into sannyas, I initiate you into this death of namelessness, of homelessness. I am not giving you any secret key of success. I am not giving you any secret formula how to succeed. If anything I am giving to you is a key of how not to succeed, of how to be a failure, an unworried, how to move nameless, homeless, without any goals, how to be a beggar, what Jesus calls poor in spirit. A man who is poor in spirit is egoless, he is the empty boat. Single is he without distinction. Whom you call simple? Can you cultivate simplicity? You see a man who eats only once a day, who wears only few clothes, or remains naked, who doesn't live in a palace, who lives under a tree. You say, this man is simple. Is this simplicity? You can live under a tree, and your living may be just a cultivation. You have cultivated it to be simple. You have calculated it to be simple. You may eat once a day, but you have calculated it. This is mind manipulated. You may remain naked. That cannot make you simple. Simplicity happens only, simple is he without distinction. But if you feel that you are a saint because you live under the tree and you eat once a day and you are a vegetarian and you live naked, you don't purchase any money, you are a saint. And then a man passes who purchases money and condemnation arises in you and you think, what will happen to this sinner? He will be condemned in hell. And you feel compassion for this sinner. Then you are not simple, because distinctions have entered. You are distinct. It makes no difference how the distinction has been created. A king lives in a palace. He is distinct from those who live in huts. A king uses dresses which you cannot use. They are so valuable. He is distinct. Then a man lives naked in the street. You cannot live naked in the street. Then he is distinct. Wherever distinction is, ego exists. When there is no distinction, ego disappears. And non-ego is simplicity. Simple is he without distinction. To all appearances he is a fool. This is the deepest saying that Chantasu has uttered. Difficult to understand. Because we always think that an enlightened person, a perfect man, is a man of wisdom. And he says, to all appearances he is a fool. But this is how it should be. Amongst so many fools. How can a wise man be otherwise? To all appearances, he will be a fool. And that is the only way. How can he change this foolish world and so many fools towards sanity? He will have to be naked and come under the table and crow like a rooster. Then only he can change you. He must become crazy like you. He must be a fool. He must allow you to laugh at him. Then you will not feel jealous. Then you will not feel hurt. Then you will not be angry at him. Then you can tolerate him. Then you can forget him and forgive him. Then you can leave him alone to himself. Many great mystics have behaved like fools. And their contemporaries were at a loss what to make out of their lives. And the greatest wisdom has existed in them. To be wise amongst you is really foolish. That won't do. You will create much trouble. Socrates was poisoned because he didn't know Chuang-Tzu. If he had known Chuang-Tzu, there was no need. There was no need for him to be poisoned. He tried to behave like a wise man amongst fools. He tried to be wise. Chuang-Tzu says, to all appearances, the wise man will be like a fool. Chuang-Tzu himself lived like a fool, laughing, singing, dancing, talking in jokes and anecdotes. Nobody thought him to be serious. And you cannot find more sincere and a serious man than Chuang-Tzu. But nobody thought him to be serious. People enjoyed him. People loved him. And through this love, he was throwing seeds of his wisdom. And he changed the men, and he transformed men. But to change a madman, you have to learn his language, and you have to use his language. You have to be like him. You have to come down. If you go on standing on your pedestal, then there can be no communion. This is what happened to Socrates. And it was to happen there because the Greek mind is the most rational mind in the world. And a rational mind always tries not to be foolish. Socrates angered everybody. People had to kill him really, because he will ask awkward questions and he will fail, make everybody make feel that he is fool, foolish. He will put everybody in a corner. And you cannot answer even ordinary questions if somebody insists. You believe in God, and Socrates will ask something about God, and you cannot answer. You have not seen. What is the proof? But God is a far-off thing. Even ordinary things you cannot prove. You have left your wife at your home. How can you prove really you have left your wife at your home? Or you have got a wife. It may be just in your memory. You may have seen a dream. And when you go back, there is neither house nor wife. Socrates will ask questions, penetrating, analyzing everything, and everybody in Athens became angry. This man was trying to prove that everybody is a fool. They killed him. Had he met Chuantezu, and that time Chuantezu was in China alive, they were contemporaries, then Chuantezu would have told him the secret. Don't try to prove that anybody is foolish, because fools don't like this. Don't try to prove to a madman that he is mad, because no madman likes it. He will get angry, arrogant, aggressive. He will kill you if you prove too much. If you come to the point where it can be proved, then he will take revenge. Chuantezu would have said, it is better to be foolish yourself, then people enjoy you. And then by a very subtle methodology, you can help them change. Then they are not against you. That's why in the East, particularly in India, and in China, and in Japan, such an ugly phenomenon never happened as it happened in Greece. Socrates was poisoned and killed. It happened in Jerusalem. Jesus was killed, crucified. It happened in Iran, in Egypt, in other countries. Many wise men were killed, murdered. It never happened in India, in China, in Japan, because these three countries came to realize that to behave as a wise man is to invite calamity. Behave like a foolish, like a madman. Just be mad. That is the first step of the wise man, to make you at ease, so you are not afraid of him. That's why I told you that story. The prince became friendly to this man. He was afraid of other doctors, learned experts, because they were trying to change him, cure him. And he was not mad. He was not thinking that he is mad. No madman ever thinks that he is mad. If a madman ever comes to realize that he is mad, madness has disappeared. He is no more mad. So all those wise men who were trying to cure that prince were foolish. Only this old sage was wise. He behaved foolishly. The court laughed, the king laughed, the queens laughed and said, how this man is going to change? Because he himself is crazy and seems to be deeper in madness than the prince. Even the prince was shocked. And he said, what are you doing? What do you mean? But this man must have been an enlightened sage. Chuantezu is talking about this type of phenomena, this phenomenal man. To all appearances, he is a fool. His steps leave no trace. You cannot follow him. You cannot follow an enlightened man. No, never. Because he leaves no trace. There are no footprints. He is like a bird in the sky. He has moved and no trace is left. Why? A wise man should not leave traces so that you should not be able to follow. Because no wise man likes you to follow him. Because when you follow, you become imitators. He is always moving in such a zigzag way. You cannot follow. If you try to follow him, you will miss. Can you follow me? It is impossible. Because you don't know what I am going to be tomorrow. You cannot predict. If you can predict, you can plan. Then you know where I am going. Then you know the direction. Then you know my steps. You know my past, you can infer my future. But I am illogical. If I am logical, you can conclude what I am going to say tomorrow. Just looking whatsoever I have said in my yesterdays, you can conclude logically what I am going to say tomorrow. But that's not possible. I may contradict completely. My every tomorrow will contradict my every yesterday. So how you are going to follow me? You will go crazy if you try to follow. Sooner or later you will have to realize that you have to be yourself. You cannot imitate. His steps leave no trace. He is not consistent. He is not logical. He is illogical. He is like a madman. He has no power. It will be very difficult to follow. Because we think that a sage has a power. He is the most powerful man. He will touch your blind eyes and they will open and you will be able to see. You will be dead and he will touch and you will be resurrected. To us, a sage is a miracle worker. But Chantazu says he has no power. Because to use power is always part of the ego. The ego wants to be powerful. You cannot persuade a wise man to use his power. It is impossible. If you can persuade him, it means some ego was left which can be persuaded. He will never use his power. Because there is no one who can use and manipulate. The ego, the manipulators, is no more there. The boat is empty. Who will direct this boat? There is nobody. A sage is power, but he has no power. A sage is powerful, but he has no power. Because the controller is no more there. He is energy, overflowing, unaddressed, undirected, and there is no one who can direct it. You may be cured in his presence. Your eyes may open, but he has not opened them. He has not touched them. He has not cured you. Because if he thinks that he has cured you, he himself has become ill. Because this I that I have cured is a greater illness It is a greater blindness. He has no power. He achieves nothing. He has no reputation. And since he judges no one, no one judges him. Such is the perfect man, his boat is empty. And this is going to be your path. Empty your boat. Go on throwing whatsoever you find in the boat. Unless everything is thrown and nothing is left. Even you are thrown, nothing is left. When your being has become just empty. The last thing and the first thing is to be empty. Once you are empty, you will be filled. The all will descend in you when you are empty. Only emptiness can receive the all. Nothing less will do. Because to receive all, you have to be so empty, boundlessly empty. Only then the all can be received. Your minds are so small, they cannot receive the divine. Your rooms are so small, you cannot invite the divine. Destroy this house completely, because only the sky, the space, the total space can receive it. Emptiness is going to be the path, the goal, everything. From tomorrow morning, try to empty yourself of all that you find within. Your misery, your anger, your ego, jealousies, sufferings, your pain, your pleasures, whatsoever you find, just throw them out without any distinction, without any choice. Empty yourself. And the moment you are totally empty, suddenly you will see you are the whole, the all. Through wideness, the whole is achieved. Meditation is nothing but emptying, becoming nobody. In this camp, move as a nobody. And if you create anger in somebody and you collide, remember, you must be there in the boat, that's why it is happening. Soon when your boat is empty, you will not collide. There will be no conflict, no anger. No violence, nothing. And this nothing is the benediction. This nothing is the blessing. For this nothing you have been searching and searching. But unless the searcher is lost, there can be no fulfillment. And now when you have come, don't go back. Fill with yourself. Go empty. Move in this wide world as an empty boat. And all the blessings of life, all the blessings that are possible in existence will be yours. Claim them. But you can claim them only when you are not. This is the problem. How not to be. And I say to you, it can be solved. I have solved it, that's why I say. It will be difficult for you to meet Chandrasekhar. but I am here. You can look in me, you will find the same empty boat. I am talking to you, but nobody is talking to you. And I am not claiming any wisdom. I am not claiming anything. I have no power to cure you. No miracles will happen here. Because I am interested only in the ultimate miracles. When somebody becomes ordinary. That's the ultimate miracle. Meditate on it. Pray for it. Make all efforts for it. And remember only one thing. You have to become the empty boat. Enough for today.